Okay, busy trying to collect things. Again, the first casualty of war is the truth, or at least reality. It'll be twisted and spun 16,000 different ways by all the parties involved. The facts are, yesterday, five airlines, big carriers all over the Middle East, canceled all flights to Iran to stay out of Iranian airspace. That was yesterday. Today, the American vassal state of Israel sent 10 or 12 of its aerial refueling tankers across the Atlantic, or up and over, however they do it, to Israel. Two substantial indications that an attack was about to happen. And it did. It's underway right now, to the best of our knowledge. There was an earlier attack on Tehran by Israeli airplanes, American airplanes, with Israeli pilots, and using aerial refueling tankers to make sure they could get back to their bases in Israel. 19 initial explosions were recorded just in the city of Tehran, perhaps to suppress some of the surface-to-air missiles. We don't know yet. But there is another report that the Iranian Ministry of Defense building was exploded. That was the word used. It blew up. In other words, they took it out. So that may have happened. Have pictures of some burning areas in the capital city of Iran in night. It should be getting, I think, light fairly soon over there. So we'll see. But the attacks are underway apparently right now. There was a second large wave of tankers and jets observed from the West Bank flying toward Iran. So the first attack had specific military objectives to hit, and apparently they did, and now the big attack is underway. Reports from at least two other cities in Iran of explosions, sirens going off, the whole thing. So this is a major formerly United States of America and Israeli attack on the sovereign nation of Iran. That's what it is. When we have our air tankers in there making the attack possible, we are equal partners. And again, we have an unconfirmed report of somebody seeing at least two American B-2 stealth bombers flying also toward Iran. If they were there, they probably have our best bunker busters. They're going to try to annihilate the Iranian nuclear program. I didn't say nuclear bombs. I said nuclear program. That's what it is. And we will see. So I'm waiting for more reports. We'll pass them along as soon as they come in. And it's great to talk to Mitchell Henderson this hour. Mitch is, as you know, a remarkable source of wisdom and insight and information. So welcome back, Mitch. Thanks for being here. How does it look to you right now?
Okay. Well, I've been scouring Iranian and Arab news, okay, because, of course, our news lies to us.
Hold on, Mitch. We got it. I think we have a bad connection. Todd, does he sound fuzzy to you, too?
Hello?
Todd? Okay. All right, let me do this. Hold on. Just sit tight, everybody. I'm going to reconnect here on my end, see if that does anything. Hold on. Okay. Mitchell, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You sound fine to me. How
okay,
am I?
Yeah, you've got a little bit of buzz in your line there, but go ahead. You're legible. Not a problem.
Okay. So anyways, I've scoured the Iranian and the Arab news, because ours lies to us. Everything they tell us is a lie. Of course, their news lies to them also, okay? So you have to kind of compare the two and read behind the lines. So this is what I know. What I know is, yes, they cleared the airlines out, okay, yesterday, which means Iran knows the attack was coming. Second thing is if you remember last week, they said, oh, well, somebody in America leaked the attack plans to Iran.
Right.
So once again, Iran knew not just that it was coming, but what would be attacked, okay? What they both sides say in common, that's the same, is the IDF says they attacked military targets alone. They did not target any oil or nuclear facilities. What Iran says is they had military targets hit, but no nuclear or oil facilities were hit. Okay, so they're both on the same sheet of music on that, so that may be true. If you remember, Iran had warned Israel, if you attack our infrastructure, oil, nuclear infrastructure, we'll attack yours, and if you kill our innocent civilians, we'll kill your innocent civilians. So Iran made this super clear. They also made clear that when the United States put a THAAD missile battery, anti-aircraft missile battery, in Israel, they said that Iran said that makes the United States a party to the war.
Not to mention their air tankers.
Yeah, they said we will attack them and kill them. They are a target. Okay, so they made that very clear. Also, last week, the Russian fleet is in Iran for a drill, and the Russian fleet warned Israel, don't get carried away because we'll get involved. Okay, so what they did is they hit Mashhad Air Force Base. That's in northeastern Iran near the Afghanistan border. They hit Kashan Air Base, okay? That's a little bit south of Iran, I think, Tehran. They hit Karaj. They have Fath Air Base there that they hit. And they hit some targets in the West City. Now, some of those explosions in the West City were anti-aircraft explosions, okay? So they were not all on-the-ground explosions, okay?
So, in other words, you're saying the surface-to-air missiles going up into the air hit something, or at least ignited near something. Okay.
Right, exactly. So on the way over, the attack was from Israel across Syria and across Iraq, okay? They attacked Damascus, and they attacked Baghdad also. Now, you know, Iraq is not in a state of war with Israel. They attacked a neutral nation, basically. Okay, so what they were taking out is of course, Damascus and Baghdad is where all their best air defense weapons are at, and that's why they were attacking air defense batteries in Damascus and in Baghdad. Okay, so they could fly over. A thing that can cause future trouble is that videos of civilians taking videos in Jordan took videos of Israeli aircraft overflying Jordan airspace. That's a problem because Iran told the Arab countries don't do it. Now, Syria and Iraq are not in trouble because they're just trying to shoot these aircraft. But Jordan did not shoot them down. So the king's got some questions that have to be answered, okay? So now what you're going to see in the future, just wait for it. This will be false information. You may see the Israelis did attack an air base in Karaj, but you may see pictures of the nuclear power station in Karaj on fire, okay?
Right.
That fire started 17 hours ago.
Oh.
That was in earlier news. That was not attacked by Israel. That's a separate fire that happened 17 hours ago. But what you're going to see probably is
it may have been sabotaged
that,
too, though, Mitch.
Sure. But there was not an air attack by Israel. They did not attack it. There's film from 17 hours ago of that on fire. So, and the attack just started a couple hours ago, so that's not it. Already in the news, they're showing oil facilities in Iran on fire. That these pictures are from 2021. These are not current.
Who's allegedly hoisting these images up to sea?
It's just a different news agencies around the world using these.
So give me a picture of anything on fire, and we'll put it up, basically. Right.
Sort of like when the war started in Ukraine, and they had all these pictures of all this action that was old stock photos.
No, they're old. I know. I remember.
Yeah.
Sure.
So this is just the news agencies are just propaganda agencies now. They have no integrity. They don't really tell the truth, okay, about anything. So this is sort of like an attack that was planned, and everybody knew about it. Both sides knew about it, and they're really keeping the damages to the minimum, okay, just as Iran keeps their damage to the a minimum when they attack Israel. Okay, it's a show for their public consumption is what it is.
Well, the Iranians, okay, in your opinion, they sent 200 to 500 missiles on October 1st. Do you think they're going to respond to this attack? And if so, how big of a response will it be?
Well, I think that they will, of course, they're going to respond. And what they'll do is they'll do what they said they do. They said if there's an Iranian attack on, if the Israelis limit themselves to military targets, the Iranians have already said they will limit their attacks to Israeli military targets, okay? Because, you know, so far any missile coming from Iran has not hit civilian areas. I mean, listen, you can never guarantee that your missile
is going
not
to be
going
enough.
To hit
of course, some missiles will not function properly. Yes, of course, there'll be collateral damage.
Right. But intentionally, there's nobody intends to make an attack on something that is not a thing. Israel knows that Iran has the capability of knocking out their nuclear facilities and knocking out their. Israel has its own oil platforms off the coast now, and they don't want to lose those, you know, because they hate being dependent on other countries for oil.
Mitch, hold on. What you're saying, and this is important, and we've discussed these kinds of things before. This is basically being stage managed, okay?
Yes.
Both sides.
Yes.
That's what you're suggesting.
Yes.
And that's certainly a possibility. We have to watch carefully. It's interesting how you fight an offensive action, an operation against an enemy, and yet you only hit certain targets. That's kind of a civilized way to attack somebody, in a way, if you want to be funny about it.
But
in reality,
in
reality, what we're seeing here is if the Iranians restrict their response to a minimum and they don't hit civilians, which I would expect, that would be something that they have to do to save. It's all about saving face on the world stage. They have to save face. They have to respond. And they did hit that that air base in Israel, and apparently took out most, if not all, of an F-35 squadron. That was interesting.
Whole squadron and was said to have been lost. Both sides always minimize the damage done to them. Like Iran is now minimizing damage done to them. They're saying, what was that, a fly? You know, and that's what Israel says when Iran attacks. It says, what was that, a fly? You know, in other words, this is
nothing.
Yeah, well,
that wasn't a fly.
The damage
those missiles did
worse.
Big.
Yeah, it's always
they lost
worse,
an air base.
But they can't admit it.
So let's move. Let's shift over. Finish up, and then I want to go to Russia. What will Russia do in light of what Putin has been saying? Don't attack Iran, or we will respond.
Okay. So if Americans fly into Iranian airspace and attack, Russia's into the war. Okay. So there's no indication that Americans have flown into Iranian airspace. Okay?
Well, wait, they may. Hold on. Let me submit this.
Yep.
Americans have made possible the Iranians flying into, the Israelis flying into Iranian airspace. We made that possible by sending over 10 air tankers.
If I'm not mistaken, Israel only has one of those tankers. And it was already publicly talked about when Iran warned the Arab countries do not allow overflights. The other option was to fly from Israel down around Yemen and up the coast to fly completely around it.
Come in from
the southwest.
I get it.
And under those circumstances, it was understood that in order to do that, it would have to be American tankers refueling those aircraft, okay? So this was known. This is something we already known. So Iran isn't going to count that as an escalation because they already know that
they
America is the one that's going to
The Americans are making the attack possible if the reports of the Iranian complaints are correct and the American tankers are there. And they're refueling Israeli jets right now, probably.
Yeah.
That makes America a full accomplice, in my view.
Yeah. Now, these jets are not even taking off from Arab air bases, okay? They're taking off outside the region. They can fly quite a ways, okay? But here's the thing, is that they know that they're going to use them, and everybody sort of just accepts that. What is not acceptable, and this is what Putin said, this is what Iran says about the Arab countries. The Arab countries, if they facilitate an attack on Iran, Iran is at war with them. Okay, and what that means is if they allow American aircraft to take off of air bases in Arab countries, then that's war. And the Arab countries themselves has told the United States, you may not use our bases to launch any attacks on Iran. In other words, one of these tankers can't even land at an air base in Saudi Arabia after they've refueled an Israeli tanker. They can't do that. So there's very strict rules, okay? And as long as those rules are followed, okay, you know, because Russia doesn't want to get into World War III. Neither does Iran.
I would also suggest, if I might, that Russia is tracking this minutely. They know exactly how many planes are up. They know what's going on. They know what areas are being hit. The Russians are right on top of this. Remember, it's right in their backyard.
Let me give you this little insight. I think the audience needs this little insight. Is to the Russians think World War III, nuclear war, is going to break out over Iran. They think that's more imminent and more likely than it breaking out over Ukraine. That's in their estimation. Okay.
Right. Well, I would agree with that.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
And, I just published this book, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War in America, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, available at Amazon. And let me tell you, this book is just not about the nuts and bolts of surviving day to day. It is about you having the information you need in order to decide for yourself when this war is going to come. I give you the information about our enemies, the way our enemies see the world. I give the information about how America really is, okay, the truth. Because Sun Tzu in The Art of War said, if you know yourself and you know your enemies, then you'll win 1,000 battles. Listen, Americans don't know America, and they do not know the enemy. And when I say know the enemy, I don't mean know the enemy from what CNN tells you. I mean know the enemy from the enemy's point of view. Because unless you understand their point of view and their mind, you will not be able to predict how they are going to react. Okay? So this book that I published will give you the information so you can think for yourself and you can look through all the lies in the media and see what's important and what's not. So you can see it coming before it happens, okay? So because our government and our news media will never, never, never give you that information. They will lie to you to the very last moment, all right?
You got it.
So let's look at this realistically, okay? We in just a few weeks, we're going to have an election, right?
Eight days.
We have Harris, or Biden. Really, it's Biden. Okay, Biden, who's a tool of Zelensky and Netanyahu. Right now, under the Biden-Harris administration, the people who determine the foreign policy of the United States is Netanyahu and Zelensky. They
100%
dictate
agree.
Our foreign policy.
Yeah.
They are the ones who decide if we go to World War III or not. they decide it. Not any person here in America has that decision. So
no, we're
so,
a vassal state of Israel and international Zionism.
Biden and Blinken crawl on their knees to Israel and says, "Oh, please don't attack nuclear sites or oil sites in Iran, because we really don't need this war. And not only that, but if we want to get reelected, we can't have a big war breakout with Iran before the election, you know." Mm-hmm. And so Netanyahu gives his blessing, says, "Okay, we won't bomb these places right now." Okay, the other option is if Trump wins. Now, Trump is a Zionist, and he is Israel's bitch. There's no answer.
Absolutely correct.
That.
They both absolutely. Yep,
so,
no arguing.
I want you to look at the difference in the two men, okay? Whereas Biden has to get on his knees and kiss Netanyahu's ass, okay? With Trump, it's the opposite. Netanyahu has to show respect to Trump, okay?
Because isn't that
Trump
just an act,
just
though? Come
ego.
On, aren't they public posturing, Mitch? Come, I don't think
Netanyahu.
Yeah,
but Netanyahu. He has as big an ego as Netanyahu has. Okay, yeah. So what the difference is right now Netanyahu is leading, okay? And what's going to happen if Trump gets elected is Netanyahu is then going to have to actually cooperate with Trump. They're going to have to play the game together. Because Trump is going to want something. Trump's going to want something. He's got political goals, too, and he's very strong on it, okay? So here's where the danger lies, and we'll talk about Russia next. But with Israel, say that Trump wins. If Trump wins, Israel has 86 days to pull America into a war under the Biden administration. This is a time of great danger, people. He's got 86 days to create a situation that drags America into a war against Iran, because Israel cannot beat Iran on their own. They need America to do it for them.
That's an interesting figure,
blood,
86 days.
To do it.
Good point, Mitch. Very good point.
86 days.
Yeah. That's until January 20th, all right? All right.
Right, to January 20th. So if we flip over to Russia... Well, first, I'm going to get into this, but let me tell you the lie coming out of Russia. This is a bold-faced lie, and they're lying by not giving you pertinent information and not explaining things to you. Okay, so there's been a big fuss about North Korean troops fighting the Ukrainians for Russia.
Allegedly.
Okay. So no, they really are, but let me get into the details. The devil is in the details, okay? What the situation is, the United States wants to use that as a possible excuse to insert NATO troops onto Ukrainian soil. This is what we're trying to do. But let me tell you the lie, the part that they're not telling you, okay? If North Korean troops fight against the Ukrainians inside Russian national territory, just in the Kursk pocket, that is not the same. That under international law, that's like if that Mexico decided to attack El Paso, right, and sent troops over the border, and the United States asked North Korea, "Hey, will you send like a division over here to fight these Mexicans in West Texas?" And North Korea does that make North Korea a party to a war against Mexico? No, it does not. As long as the North Korean troops on U.S. soil, fighting at the behest of the United States by invitation, then North Korea is not a party to the war with Mexico. The same thing applies in Russia. This is international law, people. The same thing applies to Russia. If Russia invites any country to go onto their soil to fight an enemy attacking on their soil, that is not does not make that country a party to the war. It just simply does not under international law. And you can see that they lie to you about international law consistently. Keep telling you the mantra, the lie, that right. Israel has a right to defend itself. No, it does not. Under international law, an occupying nation has no right to self-defense against an occupied people. Let me repeat that. No occupying nation has a right to self-defense from an occupied people. For example, U.S. troops in Syria are illegally occupying Syrian territory. If Syrians attack them, the United States of America has no right to self-defense against Syria. No right. This is international law. But your media, your government officials lie to you, to your face, consistently about international law. The biggest violator of international law in the past 50 years is the United States of America. We illegally invaded Iraq, okay? We illegally invaded Serbia. These are against the United Nations Charter. And nobody sanctioned us. Nobody called us on the carpet. It's like we can just go do what we want, but nobody else is held to the same standard.
Well, let me say this, Mitch. Yeah. You mentioned correctly international law. All I've seen from Israel is grotesque contempt and mocking of international law. Take Gaza, right there.
They attack UN peacekeeping troops in Lebanon.
Artillery doesn't matter. These people are lawless. They're above all laws. They're answerable to nobody because they have the Samson option, among other things.
Well, here's the thing. Israel can kill 70,000 women and children in Gaza by attacking civilian areas, and that is not a war crime. Okay, but you notice Russia will have a missile attack, hit an apartment building, kill 12 people, and they are such hideous war criminals. But this is Secretary Blinken coming out of his mouth. Okay.
Another
coming out of his mouth, he accuses Russia of being a war criminal when his own people, and his own people are not Americans, his own people are Israelis.
That's right.
His people are accused of it. Oh, no, that's not what it is at all. So, you know, this is the way it is. So
here are a couple of updates.
Go ahead.
Gunfire and explosions continue in Tehran as Israel's second wave of attacks that we've mentioned multiple times continues. Tracer fire and explosions are illuminating the Iranian capital sky. As a source familiar with Israel's operation tells CNN, a second wave has begun. Now let me jump to another story. Israel's strikes on Iran are expected to last several more hours. Now, this was just posted minutes ago. Israel's military early Saturday confirmed it is striking military targets in Iran following initial reports of explosions in the capital city of Tehran. So we're up to speed there. That's all we know. Nothing really in terms of measuring and identifying damaged targets yet. So we're watching. Go ahead.
So we have the same problem with Zelensky. So we can see that they're trying to use the North Korean troops as some bait. But let me tell you, people, what North Korea is doing in Russia and what Russia's doing with the North Koreans is not anything that it is not an excuse for anything. Okay, Russia has the right to have anybody fight for them on their own territory. And they're not even going to fight in Ukraine or in the new territories of Russia. They're fighting on Russian soil in Kursk. Why are they fighting there? Why? Does anybody ever stop to think why they have North Korean troops there? Because North Korean troops have not been in combat since 1945. They do not have an experienced cadre of officers or NCOs who have actually got combat experience, okay? So they're there getting that combat experience. I mean,
if you stop and think about it, open-air lab for advanced tech, tactics, all kinds of things, right?
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but you got to remember, when we think about the air tactics and air strategy of World War II, those were actually developed in the Spanish Civil War in 1936. That's where air power and war actually developed.
Again, well, that was the laboratory. Power. That's right.
Yeah, that was the laboratory. So this is where they were training things out. I mean, the Germans, the Italians, everybody sent people down there to get some experience with this stuff. And this is why the German army did so well with their blitzkriegs, with their air power, is they tested it, they tried it out in Spain in 1936. Okay. So this is what North Korea is doing. North Korea is getting some practical experience for its soldiers, for, you know, the people who need to be experienced, okay, are the people who actually fight the battle. So they need to get NCOs. This is sergeants, corporal sergeants and stuff. They're non-commissioned officers. And they're junior officers. It's most important that they get combat experience, okay? Because just think about it. The privates that are fighting now in Kursk, okay, they will go back to North Korea and they will be the NCOs. They will be the sergeants, okay? And the sergeants that are there now, they'll be the senior sergeants, and they will have trained cadre who've actually been in combat and know what it is. Because you can train and train and train, but until you've actually set foot in combat, you don't get the full on picture of it, okay? So experience is always good, okay? So this is what they're doing. Now I want you to look at Zelensky. Zelensky's desperate. He's going downhill. The MI6 and the CIA has already told him, hey, you know, just get ready, you and your corrupt cronies. We're going to ship you off to some country for a plush retirement and exile. Okay, you're going to have a good life. You know, don't get caught up in this. You know, you can have a great retirement. All right. I mean, they are telling them this right now. They're telling him this.
Right.
Okay, but he's trying to make this last ditch thing. So what he just think about this. He knows that if Trump comes in, then his support from the U.S. is going to get cut off. Okay. And when that happens, he has to do something to bring the United States into a war against Russia. There's two things that he's planned, and people knows he's planned it. It's like everybody knows he's got these two plans. One is to launch a massive chemical attack on his own people and blame it on the Russians. Okay. This
sure.
is an absurd thing, because why would the Russians have to do that? Why? They don't need to do that. The second thing he's going to do is a dirty bomb scenario. He wants to blow up a nuclear plant to contaminate Europe. He wants to create an environmental, yes, a political crisis of epic proportions. He's going to try to attack a nuclear plant. Or he has enough nuclear material now to set off a dirty bomb in his own country.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and tried to claim that was a tactical nuclear bomb. Okay. And, you know, how can he do that? Well, just put a few tons of explosives out there and put a bunch of radioactive material on it. And, it'll kind of look like a nuclear explosion, you know. I mean, he wants to get us in, too. So these are the friends that America has, Netanyahu and Zelensky. These people want you dead. Okay, they want you dead. They want you to suffer. They want you to pay for their power so they can stay in power, you know, for whatever reason, you know.
Couldn't agree
these people
more.
Are desperate.
Yeah.
And Zelensky will have 86 days to do his thing, you know.
That's why I kind of caution people, don't get hung up on November 5th, all right? Things are going to go to hell between November 5th and January 20th. Biden could refuse. He could do all kinds of things. And who's going to certify the results of the election? The camel. Kamala Harris is going to certify the results of the election in the Senate. That's what the vice president does. So what if she refuses to certify the results? Come on. There's so many things that are probably planned that I'm counting on.
It is not us.
They're going to be
shocked. It is not us who determines the outcome of the election.
Okay? No.
The global elite are going to pick the person that serves them. Now, they have a choice, Jeff. They can pick... they can try to push Kamala Harris up there, and they'll lose all credibility. Everybody will know that she cheated to get there. Nobody will believe that. They will not believe anything that the government or the press says at all. I mean, nothing. Even the most stupid people will see through this. So they'll lose credibility. Okay, if they take Trump, they can still accomplish all their goals. It's just that they'll do that with credibility, okay? They'll do the same thing, but they'll have credibility doing it. Now, if Trump won, you could expect Antifa and BLM to burn America down, and the government, the military and the police will stand down and allow them to. And then when actual white people and normal people, you know, like law-abiding people, decide that they're going to stand up for themselves, and I say white people because the military and the police will go out and exterminate white people.
That's because the military we have now is not the same military we had 25 years ago. These are Gen Z.
That's exactly right.
They're brainwashed. They're brain damaxed. They're a lot of them are vax damaged. This is a terrible, terrible thing we're facing. You're right.
Now, the only thing about this is if the global elite decides that it is Trump that they want to be the front man to accomplish their goals, then they will take care of Antifa
and civil war.
There will be, unless the global elite decides that they want to keep them, you know.
Right.
So
the way I see this to be triggered,
it's not up to us.
All right. It's all up to them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're going to make happen whatever they want. If Trump, quote, wins by, let's say, 1%, okay? Let's say it was really half a percent, some ridiculous Hollywood script. That can be used easily to false flag start all kinds of violence and burn cities.
Sure.
That'll do it. They'll say, Kamala was cheated, Trump is fraud, never mind 2020. Just watch what happens. If Trump wins, it's going to be a very small margin, and I think they're going to use that to try to trigger a lot of violence.
But I think you have to realize that the people who decide that this is going to happen, they're in control of the press, okay? It's the press that will have these people go hit the streets, okay? So I want you to pay attention to what's happened recently. Just in the past month, Saturday Night Live skits about Harris and Waltz and Biden have actually made fun of them, which they didn't do before.
Okay? No, that's an indicator. That's interesting.
The Los Angeles Times declined to support Harris in the election. Today, the Washington Post, the most leftist newspaper in America, declined to endorse Harris.
The editor refused, and he quit. He left. He refused to endorse Harris, and he's gone. The Washington Post.
So what's happening is if you watch the press, you can see, because they're the people who put out the narratives that everybody's supposed to follow. When you see the mainstream press back down, I mean, you'd even see Anderson Cooper and some of these other people actually ask a hard question of Harris and demand that she actually answer the question instead of answering.
I was surprised. Brett Baier did that too, the CNN guy.
Yes.
They did.
And let me make no mistake about it. Fox is in this all the way. I mean, Fox, every time they report, they're neck and neck, and they're neck and neck, you know. This is a lie, people. I mean, just look around you. Talk to the people around you. Is really 50% of the American people that completely stupid that they would support Harris? Could they possibly be that stupid ignorant?
There are unfortunately, a lot of Harris Waltz signs.
50%? I don't know.
No. No, I don't think so. No.
So this is a lie. Fox is lying when they say this. They're going along with the, oh, we have free and fair elections narrative. Yeah. Trust me, the election doesn't mean crap. Okay? We don't determine who's going to win. The global elite will determine who's win, and the press will be behind them because they control the press. Okay?
That's right.
They're in control of everything. So just to put it succinctly, let me just say it like this. If Harris wins, she is the Antichrist. If Trump wins, he is the Antichrist. If NATO wins, they are the Antichrist. If BRICS win, they are the Antichrist. In other words, whoever wins, the Antichrist wins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The people in control will determine who wins, and they will pick who they think will be the most effective puppet. Who are they going to get the least resistance out of, okay? So here's the thing. Look at it this way. It's measured by persecution of Christians, okay? If Harris wins, what will Christians be persecuted for? They'll be persecuted for not supporting gay rights. They'll be persecuted for not supporting feminism. They will be persecuted for not supporting abortion. Okay, this is why they'll be persecuted. Okay, and you know, these are all kind of minority things here. There's not all that many people who is really behind this stuff. I mean, gay people at the best make up 10% of the population. And how long will people put up with people being persecuted for this? Well, you know, let's look at the alternative. Let's persecute people instead for not supporting the Jews and not supporting Israel. Let's persecute people for anti-Semitism. Oh, guess what? Nobody's going to raise hell about you persecuting people for being anti-Semitic.
No.
Right?
I got to straighten something out here. I want to make sure we get this right. I've found a different story. This is correct. The Washington Post editor at large, Robert Kagan, married to, guess who his lovely bride is?
Victoria Nuland.
Vicki Nuland, right. So Regine Robert Kagan, he quit as editor at large because the paper's owner, Jeff Bezos, decided not to endorse the camel. So he quit. And the staff is outraged.
Well,
so there's a nest of communism for you.
Apparently Jeff Bezos does not really think that... See what the whole media thing has been about in the election is to fool people into thinking that Harris could win, okay? And the thing is maybe Bezos understands that people aren't that stupid. Back in January, they were saying, Biden needs to dump Harris from the ticket.
He doesn't want to harm his business.
She's so impopular.
It's all about business.
Huh?
He doesn't want his business harmed.
It is about business.
Yes.
That's right. It's about business. It's all about business.
So you don't endorse Trump, but you don't endorse, you know, we should take a neutral position to protect those profits.
Yeah. Exactly. So you see the global elite are going to, they've got the situation under control. It doesn't matter who wins or who loses because they win either way it cuts.
Always.
Okay. I mean,
absolutely.
What can I say about the BRICS nations that's the same as us? The number one biggest lie, biggest scam that they have pulled on the world is climate change, green energy.
This
is a lie. This is nonsense. And everybody believes it. Guess what? China believes it and Russia believes it too. All the world believes it. So, you know, the acid test is really, do you think we really need to do something about climate change? If they say yes, well, they're in the pockets of the global elite. If they say no, they have a brain and they can think for themselves, okay? I don't want to get down on people too much because the propaganda of this green energy thing and climate change is so intense. But, you know, there was a day back in the 1970s and 80s, I got a bachelor's in geography and a master's in geography. I took like graduate courses in meteorology and climatology. Mm-hmm. This is all bullshit. Okay?
Sure is. That's
so,
total.
it completes. And if you believe in that, you may as well make that the acid test. Like if you believe in climate change, then
that's
you
true.
Have submitted yourself to the Antichrist.
Well, you're a communist dupe at the very least.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, this Bezos
you
is playing it
smart.
Submitted
yourself to the Antichrist.
He didn't want to hurt his company.
Huh?
Bezos didn't want to hurt his business, so he just doesn't endorse. Look, the camel is probably the designated loser. If the camel and waltz are installed, that means the global elite has decided to go full Stalinist, Bolshevik, communist in America. And they're not playing around. They're just putting these people in there. If Trump is placed in there, and I think he will, and I said so about a week ago, because I learned, and many of you understand this, that Jared Kushner is already involved with laying out the Trump administration. What appointments to make, who's to be pulled in. So here's Kushner back again to run the Zionist aspect of the Trump administration. He'll do it again.
He's a lifelong Democrat, and he's a Marxist, and he's a Zionist.
Yeah, well, Democrat means communist now.
Who will they pick for cabinet secretaries? They will pick the most superficial, mediocre nobodies they possibly can.
Well, and most of them are going to be Jewish.
Okay. Yeah. So, but let me tell you something. It's like, you know, will Trump be able to build a wall? You know what? He didn't build a wall last time. Because guess what? Congress has to agree to that wall. Will Trump be able to stop all this crime in America and redo the courts and stuff? No, he will not. Crime is a state issue, not a federal issue. The federal government has little or nothing to do with the crime in your neighborhood. That is your city, your county, and your state government.
Right.
Most laws, robbery, murder, those are state crimes. They're not federal crimes. Okay. So, you know, the fact is...
You know what else Trump is not going to be able to do?
Is
not going to be able to do? He's not going to be able to deport all the invaders. He's not going to be able to deport 5% of them. Because they're all in the states, and the states will claim states' rights. It's our policy. They're allowed here, whatever. There's going to be a lot of fighting about this. But your most important point, and the people of this country don't understand lawfare, is that the courts have been thoroughly penetrated, not in every case, but most cases, with communist judges. That's crucial to understand.
Let me tell you, our conservative Supreme Court does not have your back on the Second Amendment, First Amendment. These people in our Supreme Court are not protecting the
Constitution.
The Bill of Rights.
No.
They are not protecting the Constitution. They are not doing it. Okay? It's like there's three branches of government. If Trump becomes president, he can't do anything just by himself. He can't decree that all.
It's not. We're not. We're not supposedly electing a dictator here. We're electing the leader of the executive branch. Get it? There's three branches.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so the other branches aren't going to look at Congress for. We've had a Republican House of Representatives for 2 years. They've done nothing. They're worthless. They're weak. They are the friends of our enemies.
They're rhinos. They're
frauds.
They
are the enemy of the people.
Yeah. Okay? Correct.
So all I'm trying to tell you is if Trump wins, don't get your hopes up that there'll be big, major changes.
Well, look what he did before. Come on. History counts. He did nothing for four years except stand behind the deadly bioweapon vaccine injections. That man owns that.
Yeah.
He owns it. He's killed a lot of people with that endorsement, and it's disgusting.
Oh, look, the government bureaucrats took over the country, and he allowed them to. He deferred his presidential responsibilities to Anthony Fauci. What the hell? You know.
Yep. Yep.
That is not
really
leadership.
Repulsive. It's not leadership.
So,
we'll see.
So,
you know, the funny thing is...
Let me tell you, it'll be...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it will be better for... Let me tell you what Trump buys you. Trump only buys you time.
Time.
If Harrison Wallace gets in there, we will be a Marxist state full blast going, okay?
That's what I said.
If Trump gets in there, we're not going to be right away, and we're not going to be in a war right away. With Harris, we'll be in a nuclear war within a year. With Trump, we'll be in a nuclear war in 4 years. All Trump is going to do is buy you time to get ready. So in that time, buy my book, The Final Wars, and get ready.
I agree. Just keep your eyes open. This is planned out. The script is done. There's going to be a lot of very convulsive, nightmarish things happen between the election, so-called, and January 20th. So keep your seatbelts fastened. Mitch, thank you for sharing all that. Thank you for being here. Meanwhile, the attack on Iran continues as we speak. All right. Talk to you soon, Mitch. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Excellent. Another excellent hour of analysis right on the cusp of the war on Iran. And I don't call it anything else. It's a war on Iran. All right. We'll take a break and come back with all of you in just a few minutes. Glad you're out there. Take care. Hold on, and we'll continue.